Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans and Jeff Shade, a show that simplifies the complexities of investments, taxes, retirement, and more so you can discover how to better sustain yourself and your wealth for years to come. Brian is a CPA with 30 years experience and a financial advisor, which brings a unique perspective to the financial world. This show is brought to you by Madrona Financial and CPAs, home of the Rooted Wealth Plan. Want a retirement plan designed to last 30 plus years? Go to MadronaFinancial.com and click Get Started to see what the Rooted Wealth Plan can do for you. And now, here are your hosts, Brian Evans and Jeff Shade.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans, the show that gives you the straight talk and honest answers you need to help sustain yourself and your wealth for 30 plus years. On today's show, we're going to be discussing the entrepreneurs and landlords retirement dilemma. Also, the problem with 401ks today. My name is Jeff Shade, and as always, I'm just here to ask the questions. But of course, the words of wisdom and solid advice, well, they come from Brian Evans, CEO and President of Madrona Financial and CPAs. Hey, Brian, how you doing this weekend?
I'm doing just great. Thanks, Jeff.
Always glad to hear that, Brian. Of course, I hope our listeners are doing well today, too. We have another great and information-packed show lined up for us today. Brian, we talk a lot about businesses and landlords and so forth. And, you know, for business owners and people who do have investment real estate, those folks deal with a lot of things that other people don't deal with.
Yeah, I think this is a very important topic because when I think about it, people ask, well, where do the clients you work with get their money? And when I think about it, it's really four different places, generally speaking. So one of them is from your job, your career, and that kind of thing. So that's one of them. Another one would be inheritance. Some people inherit their money. But for most of our clients, actually, they either had a business or they owned investment real estate or both. And so if there's four categories, we're kind of taking two of them today saying, all right, what's the difference there? Because when you inherit money, you know, that's not something we do. That's where we were born, basically. So we're not going to spend any time on that one. If you're working in a career, you plan for retirement and everybody, oh, I'm going to retire when I'm 65. I'm going to take the pension. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go play some golf. Okay. So, you know, we all think about when somebody has a job working for somebody else, they talk about leaving that job and it's called retirement. And let's define retirement a little bit here. Retirement to me is where you trade your earnings. You have less earnings in exchange for more free time. To me, that's a basic definition of retirement. If you keep working, you have more earnings and less free time. If you retire, you have less earnings and more free time. So now let's talk about the entrepreneurs, the people that own their businesses, and landlords, people that own investment real estate. They have the same kind of decision to make, but it's a little harder for them. They don't have like some date, oh, I'm going to just, when I turn 65, I'm going to turn in my key and walk out the door. Well, you've got a business to unravel. You've got a succession plan. You got taxation. You got to find a buyer. You got to make your business worth selling to somebody that they would pay a lot of money for. You've got to arrange for a lot of things. If you own real estate, you don't just hand in the key and somebody gives you a bunch of money without a bunch of tax. So you've got decisions to make. And a lot of people have trouble making that transition, or they haven't been thinking about it a whole lot, but they're finding, you know, the average baby boomer's late 60s, maybe 68, 69 years old. And that's a retirement age for many people. And so they own a business, they own rental real estate, and they go, huh, what is my succession plan here? How do I want to transition to the next part of my life? And maybe you just heard something that kind of clicked. Yeah, I wouldn't mind trading a little bit of earnings, perhaps, for some free time. Because at this point in my life, I'm at a place where I want to spend more time with people that will miss me when I'm gone. With my spouse, with my grandkids, with my hobbies, my travel. And I don't have that time, but I have lots of money, potentially. But is that really making me happy? Is that really my purpose going forward? So people often that own real estate and are entrepreneurs are hitting a point in their life, especially now that they're, you know, most of them are owned by baby boomers and they're getting older. And so they're hitting that point where they're having a paradigm shift saying, what's it all for?
So basically what this is it's a discussion of purpose here. You want to grow your wealth or you want to figure out how to enjoy your wealth. So what do you think are some of the questions that you may want to ask yourself to make this decision a little more clearer?
Yeah, here's a great example, I think, because I've talked to entrepreneurs and I'm one myself, so I get the mindset. And we want to grow and do all that. But again, we will hit that time. And so when is that time? So one of the exercises I go through is I say, boy, on paper, you look great. How's your vacations? Oh, what do you mean? I've been working. You know, well, how's your grandkids? Well, I haven't visited them for a while. You know, that's why they're there. And I say, okay. On paper, you look awesome. You have lots of money. Answer me this. If I put another figure on here, let's say I added, in many cases, I said, let's say I add $1 million to your balance sheet. And instead of being worth $6 million, you're worth $7 million. Tell me what you would do differently for the rest of your life. And they just look at me blankly and go, nothing. I wouldn't do anything different. You mean if I put $1 million on your financial statement here, just out of nowhere, you're telling me that wouldn't change your life? And they're like, no, not really. I'd do what I'm doing now, I think. I go, okay, you might be at a place where you want to do a shift from growing your portfolio to focusing on your life and what you want out of life. And it's at that point where money doesn't even mean anything. Well, that's just another $1 million I'm going to give away to my kids or charity someday. And that's the answer I get often. And I say, well, is that your purpose? I'm like, well, no, they're fine. That's not really why I'm doing what I'm doing. And like, okay, that's kind of a good time when you know that you're ready for a transition when even more money doesn't really change your life whatsoever.
Brad, if someone has a business or they have investment real estate, which, by the way, is a true business, is there ever a situation where maybe they should not sell it? They should never get out of it. It occurs to me that sometimes people are doing this simply because it fulfills, as you said, a purpose. They need something to do. And I think also many times ego plays into this calculation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We can start breaking it down. There are some people that, yeah, I do want to be the richest person in the graveyard. I do want to just make money. That is what I love to do. I want to make money and it makes me feel good. And that is my purpose. You know, what do you do for a living? I make money. Okay, well then keep making money. Be happy. Do what you want to do. And this show, it really is about do what you want to do. I'm not here to tell you that that's good, bad, or indifferent. Do what you want to do, but think about it. And there are some people that work for purpose. I might put myself in that position. So a lot of people say, Brian, your friends are retiring. You've been doing this a long time. Can't you retire? And I assure them, well, yeah, I could retire. I host a show called Growing Your Wealth. I'm a CPA. I'm pretty good with numbers and money, you know. Yeah, sure, I could. But why? Why give up my radio show? Why give up my national coaching opportunities where I get to fly to these great cities and meet a lot of people and you know, offer advice? Why give up the chance to write articles and record webinars and go on TV and employ 35 people that have good paying jobs and are supported at work and have hundreds of clients that we're helping and that really appreciate it? Why would I give that up? So I would put myself in that boat. So maybe I'm doing it out of ego. I don't think so. I hope not. But I think I'm doing it out of purpose. Yeah, I have that purpose. But I am assured by my wife that I am not going to be doing this forever because there will be a transition point where right. I go to that third group where it says, all right, we're just going to go do fun things. Mm-hmm. That will happen at some point. And that's what I'm talking about here. You may love your business and your real estate, but you probably at some point in your life, maybe it's in your 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe it's your 90s. I don't know when. But most people at some point in their life say, yes, I would like to transition. I'm at a point, or me and my spouse wanted to tweak our life and have less stress and less time devoted to real estate or our business and more time devoted to other things. And we have enough. We're the definition of wealthy, as Dr. Himmer would say, as he's going to come on the show later, you know, defining wealth, wealthy person is somebody who has enough, mm-hmm. enough money, enough family, enough friends, enough hobbies, enough faith life, enough charitable time, enough exercise, enough. And so if you have enough finances, which many people that own businesses and rental real estate do as they're in their 60s and beyond, that they can make that choice. And I will have to make that tough choice someday, but I'm going to make it a great choice. I'm going to give it my all. Jeff, I promise you, I'm going to show up every week and give it my all here.
Me too.
Doing what I'm called to do and what gives me great purpose. But when I'm out, I'm going to give my retirement its all too. And I'll make less money, but I'll have more time and more freedom to do what I want to do.
So, Brian, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's okay to continue to work, to continue to operate that business if that is your purpose in life. But if that is not your purpose in life and you decide to divest yourself of your business or your rental real estate, how would you go about doing that?
Yeah, well, there's another dilemma facing, which is the point of this show topic. People that own real estate don't know what to do. They're like, if I sell my real estate, I'm going to get hammered on taxes. That's the common theme. You ask 9 out of 10 investors in real estate, when you're ready to sell, what's going to be your biggest problem? They'll just say, well, taxes. You know, maybe they won't miss changing toilets, but they're going to miss that money that goes to Uncle Sam greatly. And so they don't want to pay the taxes. Well, they can come to us and we can have that discussion about 1031 exchanges into passive real estate, Delaware Statutory Trust, so that they don't have to pay the taxes when they sell their real estate. They can continue to get rental income. They don't have to be a landlord. There won't be any capital calls. They can diversify their portfolios into professionally managed institutional grade real estate, et cetera, et cetera. And so we have solutions for that. Alternatively, if you're a business owner, same kind of questions that you come up with. You know, how do I do this? Who would I sell it to? What are the things I should be looking at? And the dilemma that I think that most business owners have is that they don't have the advisors that they trust to do that. They have trusted themselves to invest their money into them and their business, and they have done great. And they've talked to advisors, and they leave there going, oh, I didn't learn anything from that person, and they were just trying to sell me some product. I'm not going to trust my money to that person. And so they have a bad taste in their mouth. I hear this all the time, that they've talked to advisors and didn't get anything out of it. Maybe they talked to their CPA, and their CPA maybe isn't all that helpful because they're not in, you know, they're not business brokers. They're not investment advisors. Maybe they've talked to, you know, different people about this stuff, and they don't know anybody that can give them solutions. They don't know anybody that can help them stage a business for a better resale value, that understands the taxation of the different components of selling a business, that understands how to bifurcate the sales proceeds between all the different categories, whether capital gains, ordinary income, deferred through DSTs or other things like opportunity zone investments. So they've never really met the people that they trust to be able to turn over the running of that ship to someone else. Let, you know, that first they got to sell their business to somebody they trust, and then they got to reinvest with someone they trust and get tax advice from someone they trust and business selling advice. And boy, that's complicated. So I think a lot of people just put it off because they're like, I don't know how to navigate that. I'm going to keep doing my whatever pest control business, whatever it is. I'm going to keep doing that because I get that part. Even though I'd rather have time off, I just don't know how to do it. So the first step, of course, is to have that conversation with us because that is what we do.
Brian, before we continue our conversation here, I want to take just a moment to talk to our listeners. If you don't understand the full scope of what we're talking about in terms of selling a business, whether or not you have a business or you have some investment real estate, which, by the way, is a business, if you're not aware of how you should proceed, then I've got some good news for you. Call 833-673-7373 right now and request your complimentary Madrona analysis. It's not going to cost you a dime, but it could answer some questions for you to help you understand what your purpose is with your business and whether or not you should continue to operate it or whether it is time to cash in, so to speak. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373. We have opened the phone lines for you right now. Now, remember, this is just a casual conversation to get your questions answered about what you should do next. You must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify, but if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Once again, those phone lines are open right now, so make that call, 833-673-7373, to request your complimentary Madrona analysis. It's not going to cost you a dime, but this one call could make all the difference. Brian, as we continue our conversation here about our topics, and that would be, of course, the landlords and selling a business, I mean, getting out of it. It occurs to me that the complexities of this really involve more than just one person trying to do it all.
Absolutely. Let me give you an analogy. When I went in to get my hip replacement, it wasn't just one person, the person that did the operation. I appreciated him. He did a great job. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate my anesthesiologist.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how much I'm happy. And let me tell you, after surgery, my nurses, even the one I was a little ticked off on, she came to me about 8 hours after my surgery and said, yep, we're going for a walk. And I'm are you sure that's a good idea? It was 8 hours. I was like, a walk? You just cut my bones off and replaced them, didn't you? And, yep, get up. I was like, oh, boy. I do appreciate her. She got me going. But, you know, the point is it took a team, and we needed everybody. Otherwise, that would be unsuccessful because right. The doctor's gone home by then. You know, I needed people to help me out with things, and that's an analogy. Now, similarly, on real estate, and it differs from business because in real estate, you kind of have a general sense often of what it's worth. I can pull up, you know, let's say it's residential real estate, rentals or so forth. I can pull up Zillow and kind of get an idea of that. If I have a business, there are no Zillow for business. I can't go to my financial planning firm and go, how much is that thing worth? No, that doesn't exist. So, but getting back to real estate people, if you want to sell your investment real estate without paying the income tax and you don't want to be a landlord anymore, you've got to have a realtor involved, us, to talk about the DSTs and so forth. You need a qualified intermediary and you need title escrow, that kind of thing. So there's a team that gets involved there. I need sponsors, people that put together Delaware Statutory Trust investments for us to look at. And so there's this team that works together to help fulfill that succession plan for landlords. Conversely, on business owners, I just mentioned valuation. Boy, that's a big area. I mean, businesses are all over the map as far as valuation. It might be based upon net asset value, real estate, internal real estate value, cash on hand. But often it's goodwill, which is an intangible, and you can't look that one up. It's based on EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. It's worth more as a majority sale than a minority sale. You've got issues such as selling the business internally to employees, leaving it to family, selling it external, installment sale or cash up front, SBA cash out loans, those kinds of things. There are a lot of variables here. I mean, we could do show after show on this. In fact, I'm going to be putting together some webinars on the business succession planning coming up here in the next couple months. But the point is, if you have a business with real estate, that's one conversation. Business without real estate, that's another. All these things. But, you know, I could get into all the mechanics of this, the taxation and things we look at and how we look at valuations. But that's not the point of today's radio broadcast. The point of today's is, do you have someplace you can go and think you can get the right team put together? And I'm telling you, yeah, we are that place you start with. And are you ready to have that discussion? Are you ready to go? I mentioned earlier that I'm going to have that transition someday. I'm going to have to be able to transition someday. And it's not today and it's not tomorrow, Jeff, but someday that will happen. And so when you're thinking about that, why not have that discussion about putting together that plan for that transition, knowing that you will be able to get a really good team put together coming to us. We're not going to try and talk you into or out of selling your business. We want to have that conversation, though, and let you know that we're here to help with that.
And once again, I want to point out that we are not business brokers. You may go someplace else for that, but we can help you stage a business. And when it comes to people who have investment real estate versus businesses, Brian, if I heard you correctly in what you were just talking about, there is a distinct difference in selling a business versus selling investment real estate. Can you run down some of the distinct differences and how you would approach one of those versus the other?
Yeah, I think I'm glad you mentioned that. We are not a business broker. And the business broker we would work with, they're part of the team. They're a very important part of the team. They might help you, and your accountant can be a very important part of the team, and us as financial advisors and or your accountant, certainly part of that team. There's things to put together like proper financial statements. I've looked at businesses that don't have proper financial statements, and buyers are going to walk away from that because there's too many uncertainties. Anybody knows that's in this field that you have to eliminate uncertainties to keep your value up, because a buyer has already taken a chance buying your business. They don't know your business. And what do they have to know it from? Your financials. Well, your financials aren't very good. Or they have things in your financial. Oh, yeah, I have my personal expenses running through there. And I'm like, what am I looking at then? What am I buying? Why would I buy this? I don't even know what I'm buying. It's all convoluted. So when we say staging a business, we're talking about getting your financials right. So somebody goes, they can rely on that and go, okay, I see a history here. I see who, you know, your succession plan. I see your top people and how we're going to keep them going. I see how we can make this a turnkey business. There's so many moving parts with selling a business. And again, even who you're selling to, there's not thousands of buyers like there is, you know, you put a rental house up for sale. Well, a lot of people want to buy a rental house. Not a lot of people want to buy a pest control business or a financial planning business. There's just not a lot of buyers. And even if there were, they don't have the money and they don't have the resources, the experience. And so it's a different buyer pool, very different. So a lot more work has to be put up front. You can sell a piece of real estate as is and people can look at it and go, oh yeah, I got to fix the siding or the roof or whatever. If you try that with a business, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of money for it, if anything. And so other than net asset value. So it is a very different kind of thing. And we need a team approach. We can be a part of that team on the certainly the financial planning side. And of course, we own a CPA firm. So that part too.
Well, as you said, Brian, there are some very distinct differences between selling investment real estate versus selling a business. But let's talk about selling a business. You brought up something I think that was pretty important, and that is, who do you sell the business to? What are some of the options in terms of trying to answer that question?
Yeah, that's a tough one for a lot of people because, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, well, are your kids going to take over your business? I'm like, well, no, that wasn't their path. That's not what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's too big of a business for somebody, you know, 20-ish years old to take over. That wouldn't work in my business. That's not a proper transition. So, you know, I have internal people that are transitioning into partnership and so forth. So that's one way to do it, selling it while you're still there. That's what I'm choosing to do. There are certain businesses where that's not what you're going to do. You don't want to sell it internally. And it may not be because, you know, maybe you have a really great technician, technical people, but they aren't business owners. They aren't entrepreneurs. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just not what they're called to be. And you need to sell it externally, maybe to a competitor or to a consolidator or to private equity firm or whatever the case may be. So again, this is where the business broker person, you know, the company or whatever can be invaluable in this, in having that conversation. That's the first thing I would pull in. If someone was talking to me about selling their business, I have some, you know, understanding of valuation and so forth, but they have more of an understanding of what the market looks like, what's out there. And certainly we could integrate with the tax discussions, maybe the bifurcation of the sale into different components for tax reasons, whether it's real estate or non-real estate, that kind of thing. So, you know, again, I'm not going to get too technical into the weeds, but probably somebody listening can go, oh, this isn't your first rodeo, is it, Brian?
No, well, no,
it's not. And so that's something that we do. And we're not just selling a product. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the financial planning industry that sell something. And, you know, they say, oh, we're full service. Well, so you can do all those, you can say all those words that Brian just said. Well, no, but I can sell you an annuity. And it reminds me of the old Saturday Night Live skit that Dan Aykroyd, I think, and people come in and order different things. You have spaghetti, and you just look at him and go, cheeseburger, Pepsi. You know, didn't matter what they ordered, he had the same answer. Well, some financial advisors are probably in that boat too. I won't name any names right now, but no matter what you think you want, they got the answer. It's just maybe not the appropriate answer. So hopefully we'd be a little more custom than that. We have a full menu as opposed to a very limited one.
Yeah, I think you're dating us a little bit there, Brian. I think that was around 1975, 76, 77.
That sounds about right. Jeff.
It really is. I mean, that's when Saturday Night Live started. It was 1975. I remember it particularly.
Boy.
We're talking with Brian Evans here, and we're talking about whether or not you have a business for sale or you've got investment real estate. And it all circles back, I think, Brian, to what we talked about in the beginning of the show, and that is you've got to make a big decision. Why are you continuing to work to sell this business? Do you have a purpose in life that's greater than the money that you would make? Brian, that's a really hard decision to make.
It is a very hard decision. And I think you kind of know when you're there. And really what this discussion is about is when you're thinking you're getting there or are there, that you have a place to go. We understand what your questions will be, what the questions are to ask. And we can help you walk through that process so that it's advantageous and you can live the life you want to live. That's what this show is about. You know, we call it growing your wealth, but it's almost a misnomer sometimes because right. At some point you don't need to grow your wealth. You need to live the life you want to live. And so you need to grow it to a point to be able to do that, to be able to live the life you want to live. I think most people would agree with that. And so it's really two components, but we don't want the show title to be too long here, I guess. Right. we'll keep it at growing your wealth, but and won't add until the point where you can choose to live the life you want to live. But that's really what we're talking about here.
That's right, Brian. Based on our conversation, I'm sure listeners have some questions. So if you're not sure what your purpose is for your business, you want to know what your options might be, I would suggest that you give us a call this weekend at 833-673-7373 and request your complimentary Madrona analysis. Again, it's not going to cost you a dime, but it could answer some very important questions for you about your purpose and why you're continuing to operate this business. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373. Now, we've opened the phone lines for you right now, so go ahead and make that call. Remember, you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify, but if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. So go ahead, make that call while you're thinking about it. It's 833-673-7373, and remember, this one call could make all the difference. Brian, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the problem with 401ks today. All that and more when our show continues. Stay tuned.
Do you ever worry if your CPA and financial advisor are on the same page? You won't have to if you call Madrona Financial and CPAs at 844-MADRONA or go to madronafinancial.com. Now back to more of Growing Your Wealth.
Welcome back to Growing Your Wealth. I'm Jeff Shade, along with Brian Evans, CEO and President of Madrona Financial and CPAs. And in just a moment, Brian and I are going to be discussing the problems with 401ks today. But first, we want to invite Dr. Richard Himmer into our show, one of the partners here at Madrona, to share a few non-financial tips on how to emotionally and mentally prepare for retirement. Richard?
Thanks, Jeff. Imagine walking into a financial advisor's office, expecting the usual conversation about stocks, bonds, and retirement accounts. But instead, you're met with a different kind of professional, one who approaches your financial well-being with the curiosity and tenacity of a skilled detective. Welcome to the world of problem finding in financial planning. In the realm of financial advising, there are two distinct approaches. Problem solving is the first, which is what you're accustomed to, and problem finding, which is the one I'm introducing. The former is the more common route, where advisors rely on a limited set of tools, such as equities and annuities, to address surface-level issues. It's like a pharmacist with only a handful of prescriptions, or a builder with just a saw and hammer, or a mechanic armed with only a tire pressure gauge and a wrench. While these professionals may solve immediate problems, they often fail to dig deeper and uncover the root causes of financial challenges. On the other hand, a problem finder is a financial advisor who goes beyond the conventional toolkit. They are equipped with an arsenal of modern gadgets and insightful questions, parenthetically, emotional intelligence, ready to unearth the hidden issues that impact their clients' financial well-being. Like a skilled detective, they probe deep, asking the right questions and analyzing the answers to create a comprehensive picture of their clients' financial landscape. Typically, when someone goes to see a financial advisor, there's so much distrust already going on, which I'm going to cover in just a second. But imagine going into it where they're able to ask you questions so you can discover what it is you truly want, because sometimes in this world, we don't always exactly know what it is we want. Sadly, the financial planning industry has earned a reputation as one of the most distrusted professions, as mentioned, competing with politicians, used car salesmen, and telemarketers. This distrust stems from the prevalence of traditional financial advisors who prioritize commissions and sales over their clients' best interests. These advisors often rely on a choreographed dance of problem-solving and pocket-lining, using dinner seminars and persuasive techniques to push one-size-fits-all solutions. The truth is, wealth is not about hoarding money like a dragon guarding its treasure, or about the highest interest rate to a hundredth of a percentage. It's about understanding your identity and purpose and aligning your financial decisions with those values. Retirement happiness is not measured in dollar bills or the eighth of a point interest rate that might make a difference of $1,000 or $2,000 in the total of a million. But it's measured in the wealth of daily joy, purposeful pursuits, and healthy connections with loved ones. To navigate the waters of retirement comfortably, it's essential to shift your focus from mere money to the pursuit of wealth. This is where problem-finding financial advisors really shine. They understand that retirement planning is not a show-me-the-money game, but a show-me-the-wealth journey. By helping clients clarify their identity and purpose, these advisors create a roadmap for retirement that is sequential, logical, methodical, transformational, enjoyable, and discernible. As the Chinese proverb reminds us, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Retirement is a fertile new ground in which to sow the seeds of long-held dreams and neglected passions. With the guidance of a problem-finding financial advisor, you can cultivate a retirement that promises a harvest beyond your working imagination. So when you seek financial advice, look for an advisor who embraces the art of problem-finding, one who asks insightful questions, digs deeper with the purpose of uncovering your true financial challenges, and then assist you to align your money and the direction with your values. By doing so, you'll not only secure your financial future, but also discover the wealth of possibilities that retirement holds. If you want to learn more about problem finding versus problem solving, I invite you to join me in a new podcast adventure called How Not to Retire, a psychological approach to a healthy and wealthy retirement, where the time and the energy are spent on the accumulation of wealth. Money is not the focus. That's Brian's cup of tea. To listen to the podcast, go to hownottoretire.com and then subscribe to the podcast. You'll then receive a complimentary ebook on the process. You can also sign up for Brian's weekly newsletter. And if you're so inclined, you can meet with an advisor who is trained in problem finding, not problem solving. And you realize how money and wealth can be combined into a singular system called retirement planning. That's hownottoretire.com. Remember, don't try harder, try different. Until next time, may your habits be harmonized with your purpose, leading to a life filled with happiness, joy, and well-being.
Thank you, Richard. And for our listeners, you can subscribe to Richard's podcast by going to hownottoretire.com. Brian, let's dive into our last segment, The Problem with 401ks today. Brian, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about the problems with 401ks. Now, to me, they seem like a superior option to a pension. You've got more flexibility, you can manage it yourself, and you can move it with you as you switch jobs.
Yeah, those are all positives. And, you know, I would look at that and go, yeah, I like my 401k because I have flexibility. I get to manage it myself. I have a list of things I can pick from, a limited, very limited list, but it's a list. And when I move jobs, which I never will because it's my firm, so I wouldn't do that. But if I did, then I could invest in things outside of the limited options the 401k offers. But I might ask one of my brothers, what do you think are the problems with your 401k? And they might say the same thing. So the problem is I got too much flexibility. I don't know anything about these different choices. What should I buy? What should I invest in? I went to the HR manager. They said, don't look at me. I don't know. I went to someone else, they said, well, I don't know. This one says high yield. That sounds good. I did that. I did poorly, and I find out it's a junk bond fund. Uh-huh. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I have to manage it myself. In fact, I wrote a chapter in one of my books, Prosperous Revelations. It was Christians, Mechanics, and Your 401k. And I pointed out that just because you attended church does not mean you're a Christian. Just because you own a lot of tools like I do does not mean you're a mechanic, like I am not. And just because you have a 401k plan does not mean you're an experienced advisor in the world of asset allocation using a limited group of mutual funds. But you're thrust into that role. You're required to manage it yourself, and it's hard to find help. And finally, yeah, and then if I switch jobs, I got to figure out what to do with it then. And I have a plethora of choices, and I don't understand any of them. So what might look like a positive to me might be a negative to someone else, as I mentioned, like my brother. And that's not their field of expertise. They have a completely different field of expertise than I do. And so, yeah. yeah, that can be a daunting thing. That's great. You have flexibility. You have the ability to put money into things that could do really well. You also, conversely, have the flexibility to put your 401k money into things that do poorly and lose money. And you can switch them and continue to move into something that was good last year. Oh, I think I'll move into it this year. And then it goes bad. And you could have a very bad experience. You could have the experience of this one person I saw that put it in cash their whole career and really had no ability to retire, even after 35 years of work, because there was no growth. So there is a lot of pitfalls just on the fact that you have the flexibility to manage your own 401k plan.
Brian, what you talked about just makes a lot of sense here, but I read about this case study that said that when presented with the options, 95% of Florida employees opted to stay in the pension plan. Why do you suppose that is?
Yeah, and when we say pension plan, we're basically talking about a lifetime annuity. And so 95% said, just give me a monthly check I can count on. It's uncomplicated. I know what it is. Yeah, but your rate of return is going to stink and you don't have any control over the investments. Don't care. 95%, 19 out of 20, according to the statistic, said, I don't care about rate of return. I just want it simple. I want a monthly check for life. The other 5% is all decided, no, I would like to manage my own money. I like the flexibility, as we just talked about, the fact that I can manage it myself, the fact that I can put it into different investments. So I find that very interesting, because certainly we work with lump sums, and you know, people have that choice to take a lump sum and roll it into their IRA and invest it in whatever they want, or take a monthly check for life. And it sounds like a lot of people are opting for a monthly check for life because they just don't know what options they have. So it's simple. You know, often though, when we analyze that, we say, well, there's some really good options outside of that. Because, you know, once you've opted for a pension, you're basically opting for a residual value of zero. Mm-hmm. When you die, when your spouse dies, the residual amount value of that investment to your heirs is typically zero. It's kind of a bit of a losing proposition in that respect, a winning proposition in respect that it's a monthly check for life. So maybe you don't care about that. I just want a check for life. I don't care that there's nothing left in this thing for my heirs. And that could be okay too. But that's the analysis that we would go through with people and give them options so that they don't have to take this on themselves. They don't have to become an asset allocation specialist along with whatever you did for your career.
Brian, I was reading about fees in 401ks, and I didn't realize that there were so many fees. These fees really can make a big difference.
Oh, they can make a huge difference over time. You think about the compounding effect of, say, let's say you have a 2% fee in your 401k versus doing it yourself over 10 years. Well, I can do 10 times 2, and that's 20%. But think about the compounding effect on top of that, of what that fee could be. And I've seen fees even higher than that. But whatever that fee is, that can be a significant drag. Especially what bothers me about 401ks that do have high fees is you're still not getting an asset allocation specialist assigned to you. It's like, what's this fee for exactly? You know, sometimes you got to ask yourself. Or even if you do, I know my wife was, you know, at Boeing there, and they mm-hmm. brought in some firm, and they would have this guy, he'd come to the lunch thing every Wednesday, and she's like, I'm not going to some 22-year-old right out of college kid to tell me how to invest my retirement money. She would just rail on that poor guy because he had no experience. And he's like, oh, I can help you with your retirement. And well, you know, you're talking about somebody in their 50s with seven figures, and you got a 23-year-old. She goes, I wouldn't even lend my car to my 23-year-old son. You think I'm going to turn my entire retirement over to this guy just because he wears a cheap suit and he sits in the lunchroom there? No,
right.
No. And so, yeah, may not get the kind of advice you really need. And they don't have any options. Like, what options do you have besides the things your boss tells you to put us in? Well, nothing. This is what they tell me to put it in. It's back to my analogy in the first half of the show. We have cheeseburgers and we have Pepsi.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger, Pepsi. That's what we have. Put your money in there. You'll be fine. Well, no, I don't feel fine. And so those fees can be a real drag, certainly. And sometimes you got to ask, what am I getting for those fees? So anybody that has money in an old 401k plan might want to have that discussion about rolling into your IRA. Or if you have money in a 401k plan and you're 59 and a half or older, you generally can roll that out, even a 401k, 403b, 457, thrift savings plan, whatever it is. You generally can roll that out, depending on your plan documents, and roll it into your own IRA and get some help from us, you know, know, we do a lot of that here at Madrona Financial.
And Brian, I'll tell this little story too. I was in my bank yesterday and the teller, when I was done with my simple transaction, said, you know, we can help you with your investments and how to retire. I said, oh, really? Can you talk to me about cruts and crats and life insurance? And can you tell me about, you know, 1031 exchanges into a Delaware statutory trust? And of course, you know, she was a little embarrassed. Her eyes sort of rolled back in her head a little bit. And she said, unfortunately, no, we really can't talk about that. That is, I think, a situation that a lot of people have had, is where banks are trying to offer this sort of investment advice too, but even they do not have the range of products that a comprehensive investment advisor would have.
Oh, they don't have hardly any range of products generally. I mean, they have, yeah, they can put you into mutual funds and annuities, usually fixed annuities or CDs. Yeah, I just had a situation where a person came in, she lost her husband tragically, and she split her money at one of the biggest banks between a checking and a savings so she can make some interest.
Right.
And she had hundreds of thousands of dollars in the savings account balance. And I said, any guess as to what interest rate they're paying you in these high interest rate times? She's like, oh, no. I said, well, that would be 0.1%.
Right.
And she earned a grand total of $1.70 on her several hundred thousand dollars in interest. And I'm like, oh, gosh, these banks. But anyway, they don't offer the breadth and depth of products. They're not held to the fiduciary standard. They don't have a CPA firm on staff. They don't do estate planning, business succession, real estate succession. I could go on and on here and list out all the things that you don't get from the biggest of companies. That could be the biggest financial planning firms out there, you know, the ones with the stadiums named after them. It can be from the biggest banks out there. They just don't offer the depth and breadth of services that even a small firm can offer. They do a different kind of business. You know, they certainly offer things we don't do. I can't lend money to you. They
sure
can. I can't give you a mortgage. They can. They have lots of purposes outside of what we do. We don't do banking. We're not banks. But banks are trying to do financial planning sometimes. I'm like, you might want to stay in your lane. Is kind of my opinion on that often from what I've seen out there.
Brian, we've been talking about the problems with 401ks today, and we've identified a lot of those. Are there any reasons that you can think of why someone would want to stay in the 401k or maybe change that 401k into the 401k of a new job?
Yeah, absolutely. 401ks do serve purposes. And one of the things to think about is opting for the Roth 401k, depending on your projected income in retirement, your tax rate in retirement, and your age. But certainly, if you have the Roth 401k option, you might want to consider that, again, depending on some things there. But yeah, 401ks are hugely important for a lot of people. It's a forced savings account. So if somebody's making 100 grand a year and they don't have a 401k option, most of the time I see they spend about 100 grand a year to live on. If 20,000 of that's taken out, they tend to spend 80,000 a year to live on because they just don't have it to spend. So a forced savings is a good thing. And even when I was younger, I understood that. And so I bought a house when I was 26, I think. And I did the calculations and I said, wow, for not much more money, I can turn this into a 20-year mortgage instead of a 30. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have an extra couple hundred a month in my mortgage check so that I could take 10 years off of my mortgage, a forced savings. If I don't see it, I don't spend it. I'm going to start ramping up my 401k plan. And so that forced savings, you know, anybody that's done that and invested properly during that time period, if you got the compounding effect of, you know, 20, 30 years of forced savings, now you have the start of the cornerstone to a successful financial plan. You got some money put away. So from that standpoint, they're certainly important, especially the free match part of a 401k.
To 401k or not to 401k, that is the question that we're talking about with Brian Evans here on Growing Your Wealth this weekend. Brian, I want to take just a moment here to talk to our listeners. If you have questions about your 401k, whether or not it has high fees, whether you should roll it to an IRA, save those fees, maybe you want to expand your portfolio. Well, if you have those questions, we may have some answers for you. And that answer would be to give us a call and request your Madrona analysis. You can do it this weekend by calling 833-673-7373. That's right. Phone lines are open right now. Request your Madrona analysis. It's just a casual conversation education that may put you on a path towards a confident retirement, in a retirement that could last 30 plus years. And of course, we'll include that discussion about whether or not you should 401k. Again, it's not going to cost you a dime. You must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify. But if you do, we will send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. So what are you waiting for? As I said, we do have the phone lines open for you right now. They'll be open all weekend to make that call. That telephone number, once again, 833-673-7373. And remember, this one call could make all the difference. Brad, it's easy to save with a 401k by default. I mean, put the blinders on and figure it out later. But the question I have for you, Brian, is what else is out there?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, through no fault of their own, it's just not their area of expertise. They put their money in their 401k plan, and they kind of go with the assumption that, well, if I max out my 401k plan, I'll be fine in retirement. So if I'm retiring when I'm 64 years old, I'll open up my 401 statement around that time and figure it out from there. And that may work, it may not, I don't know. But I think I have a better idea for that we would be proactive on that and actually do a plan about your investing for retirement and with a purpose in mind, because 401k plans alone are very limited in their investment choices. You have generally index stock and bond mutual funds. That's kind of it. And so for most people, and maybe that's okay, maybe it's not, but it certainly does not have many other areas of the investment markets in them. And one of the problems with the thought that, oh, my 401k plan will be enough, is often it is not enough. That, along with your Social Security, it is not enough to fund the lifestyle you want to live. And so a lot of people with that kind of wake up call, they're like, wow, I finally did the financial plan. I don't know if I'm going to get there because I started too late. And so what a lot of people forget is they can invest outside of a 401k plan. So for instance, in my own case, if I had a choice between putting extra money in my 401k plan or putting money into my business, I'm going to pick my business every time. I have a much better rate of return on that investment option than I would on a mutual fund. So, you know, me personally, I have options outside of the 401k plan you may yourself. Some people are afraid of the market. And so you're going, okay, well, I have the 401k plan. I don't really like the market. I'm not too keen on bonds, but all I have to choose from is bonds in the market. I'd like to have real estate, maybe my own rental houses or maybe REITs. I'd like to have guaranteed money, like an annuity or something like that, but it's not one of my choices. So there's a problem right there too. You don't have those choices in your 401k plan typically. You can have those choices in your old 401k plan. You can roll it into an IRA and maybe buy those things. I've been getting calls of people going, I want to do self-directed real estate. I'm like, okay, well, good luck finding a trustee. But if you do, because you're supposed to value that real estate every year for the IRS. The other thing is like, yeah, I'm going to buy a rental house, a couple rental houses. I'm going to work on them, fix them up. And I like rental houses. I'm going to have them in my IRA. I say, well, you're breaking the tax law. You're not supposed to add value to your qualified account investments. You are not supposed to work on that rental house. You are not supposed to get a mortgage on that rental house. You're not supposed to do a lot of things to have it qualify. The IRS could come along and disqualify the whole thing and say, oh yeah, you're 55 years old. We're going to disqualify every dollar you have in your rentals in your qualified account. And you're going to pay all the tax at the highest tax bracket. Oh, and on top of that, a penalty and interest on top of the penalty for early withdrawal and a penalty for doing the rules wrong. And you're like, what? Nobody told me that. I'm not going to jail, am I? Well, probably not. But you really hurt your retirement thinking, gee, I'm going to do rentals in my IRA account. So there can be some pitfalls here, folks. Yeah. Not to mention the very high fees that a trustee might charge. The annual appraisal fee alone, I mean, what's that going to look like? And so maybe you skip that, but even though you're required to by the IRS, so now again, you're breaking the law. So it's not as easy as all of that. And, you know, some are like, oh, we'll put all your IRA money in a gold trust or a precious metals trust. And it's like, have you seen the long-term return of some of these kinds of things? And oh, get back to my rental analysis. If you're taking required minimum distributions and you have to take 5% a year out, how do you take 5% out of a rental house? Oh, I don't know. Do I get a loan? Oh, you can't. I just said you can't get a loan in a qualified account on a qualified asset. Oh, yeah. How do I sell? What? I sell a part of the third bedroom each year? Yeah. The closet?
Yeah.
That's 5%. I don't know. Do I sell the water heater room or what? Yeah. It's not liquid. I got that problem with RMDs. You put money into a gold trust. Okay, that's my retirement. Like, really? What kind of dividend and interest does gold pay? Oh, it doesn't. In fact, I have to pay holding costs to hold it. Exactly. It doesn't produce cash flow. Isn't cash flow important in retirement? So here's all these potential issues that you can have with qualified money and without a plan. And certainly planning ahead and making sure you have enough. If you think you're going to be in a high tax bracket in retirement, I want to know I have a whole bunch of money in Roths. I want to know that conversions were made or initial contributions into Roth 401ks. I want to know if I have access to my money, whether it's a rollover, I changed jobs, or I'm 59 and a half. I want to know I've diversified into various asset categories that were not allowed within my 401k plan. The assets you can pick from within your 401k plan, the choices were picked by some administrator, you know, HR person probably, that you've never even met. You don't know them, and they didn't talk to you about how to allocate it because that's not even their specialty. So you're going, all right, who's running this? Who's driving the bus here? I mean, and so these are all things you have to consider, but it can be brought out with a financial plan to where you just plan ahead for all the stuff I just talked about and plan ahead for the diversity you want within your qualified assets.
So, Brian, as you mentioned with the 401k plan, because you don't understand these investment choices, many times the HR pro doesn't understand these investment choices. It's sort of like the blind leading the blind sometimes. Would you say that sometimes, or is it many times, that possibly there could be more risk with your investments if you've left them into the 401k?
Well, there's always risk if you're not really on top of it, because whether it's too much risk, too little risk, overloaded in one area, I'm pretty sure that the HR, you know, the firm administrator that maybe picked your selections didn't do a cash flow analysis for you. We would. I bet they didn't do an analysis of your future tax brackets with your required minimum distributions by integrating all of your other assets outside of the 401k plan. We do. I bet they haven't done yet. Looked at your will or living trust. Make sure you have a credit shelter trust provision in there. You know, I could go on and on all day, but it's not the, you know, we talked about in the first half of the show, having the team that is specialized in all these different areas that are important. Just having a 401k plan is a component of many people's retirement plan, a good component. But if that's all you're relying on, you might have a problem with that. And so at least have it looked at, have your financial plan done. Make sure you understand your options. Maybe you don't have any, but maybe you do. So if you do, wouldn't you like to know about it?
Brian, not a lot of time left in the show today. If you could sum up our conversation today, what would be the moral of this show?
Yeah, I think the moral of the show would be that fate favors the proactive. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, three of the areas that people get their wealth typically is from their job, their business, or their investment real estate. Second half of the show today, we talked about your job, their 401k plan, qualified accounts. The first half, we talked about the landlord's retirement dilemma and the business owner entrepreneur's retirement dilemma. So if you didn't hear that part, go back if you own investment real estate or your own business. But those were the three aspects of retirement planning. And again, fate favors the proactive.
That is a very good moral to live by, Brian. Well, if you have questions as a listener about what we talked about today, you're not sure what to do, whether or not a 401k is right for you. Maybe you're an entrepreneur, or maybe you have investment real estate, and you're not sure whether or not you should keep this. What is your purpose? Then once again, we invite you to give us a call and request your no-cost, no-obligation Madrona analysis. The number to call this weekend right now, 833-673-7373, to request this Madrona analysis. Remember, you've got to have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify for this conversational analysis. But if you do, we'll send you out as a bonus Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Remember, it's not going to cost you a dime, but this Madrona analysis could be just what you need to figure out whether or not you should stay in the 401k or whether or not you should sell your investment real estate or your business. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373. Well, Brian, we're out of time for this week. I want to thank you for your time, but most of all, I want to thank our great listeners for joining us. For Brian Evans, I'm Jeff Shade. Have a great weekend, won't you? We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Growing Your Wealth.
No statements made during the Growing Your Wealth show should constitute tax, legal, or accounting advice. You should consult your own legal or tax professional on your own individual information. Brian Evans and Madrona Financial Services is licensed to offer investment advisory services through Madrona Financial Services, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Insurance products are offered through Madrona Insurance Services, LLC, a licensed insurance agency and an affiliate of Madrona Financial Services. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investors cannot invest directly into indexes. No investment strategy, including asset allocation and diversification, certification guarantees a profit or guarantees the avoidance of loss. Financial planning is an important tool that does not guarantee specific outcomes. DSD investments are only available to accredited investors and offered solely through the issuer's offering documents. The DST sponsor determines whether to accept any individual subscription documents. Madrona Financial and CPAs is a registered trade name used singly and collectively for the affiliate entities. Madrona Financial Services, LLC, Madrona, and Bauer Evans, Inc., PC. Bauer Evans. Investment advisory services are provided through Madrona. CPA services are provided through Bauer Evans.